In Western town, a dead end world. The Eastern boys and Western girls. In a Western town, a dead end world. The Eastern boys and Western girls. West End girls.
You're listening to Time to Talk. Well, for many of us, the Pet Shop Boys have provided a pop soundtrack to our lives. For example, can you remember where you were when Go West was a hit? And yeah, I know some of you weren't born. Well, you can go to hell, quite frankly. The Pet Shop Boys have got new music out. They're coming out with a new album soon enough. And I've got to say, the new song, Loneliness, is a corker. But here's the thing. I don't know much about these people. So I'm joined by Peter and Nathan. G'day, guys.
Hello.
Hey, Tim. How are you?
Good. Nice to have you in the fortress again, Peter, for your second time. And Nathan, don't be overawed by the building, okay? It looks grandiose, but actually it's very relaxed and chilled.
It is. Look, I'm thrilled that, and I'm surprised you've lowered the drawbridge a second time for me, so thank you.
Yeah, we do. We scanned your face. We knew you were a friendly, you weren't a foe, that's for sure. Okay. So, Peter, who are the Pet Shop Boys, and how come we don't know so much about them?
Well, I think that's by design. I mean, the Pet Shop Boys, well, quite literally, it's Neil Tennant and Chris Lowe. Neil is 69 years old now and Chris is 64.
Good grief.
They formed 42 years ago back in 1981 in London. I think Neil's from Newcastle and Chris is from Blackpool, so they're both northerners. But, yeah, they hold their cards close to their chest, don't they?
From the little tiny bit of research I did to prepare for this, I like to do a little bit of research, ladies and gentlemen, is they just they're into the music, but the image part is not their favourite thing, which might explain the strange costumes, the big hats, the fact that even on the cover of this, I'm pretty sure I saw that they've got their hand over their face, although they do appear in the video right at the end, and I'm not going to lie.
Briefly, yes.
Had a heart attack because it's like, wow, my God.
Is that them?
Yeah, they're a lot older. Like, no offense. There's nothing wrong with getting older. I just didn't expect that. Amazingly talented, though, right?
Incredibly talented. And, I mean, they've been doing this for 42 years. I mean, amazingly. Not just for – they're so prolific. I mean, they've had so many singles and so many albums. But not only their own, they've worked with so many people as well. I mean – Liza Minnelli, Kylie, Dusty Springfield, Robbie Williams, Boy George. I mean, you could honestly, it'd take a few minutes to list them all. Tina Turner.
I didn't know they worked with Tina Turner.
Wow. Yeah, they had that song called Confidential.
As I said, I was doing some research for this and their interviews, no offense, guys, if you're listening, but boring as hell. Right back to the beginning. Very, very boring. I mean, Chris Lowe clearly doesn't want to be there most of the time. He looks like he's got a great sense of humour. He looks like a lovely guy, but he clearly does not enjoy interviews. Neil, well, by comparison, looks like an extrovert, though that's not saying much. This is what Neil had to say in his younger years about how he got into music in the first place.
Did you start to dabble in music while you were still up in Newcastle?
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, I got a guitar when I was about 13 years old, you know, like a lot of people do. And I used to play old people's songs. And I used to write songs then, you know, even then. And when I was 15, I was in a group called Dust with some friends. We were all in the Young People's Theatre, and the People's Theatre up there. And we entered the Newcastle Festival, had a talent competition at Eldon Square, organised by the Evening Chronicle. And we got through the first heat, but then we had the second heat, and it was a bit of a disastrous performance, so we didn't get through to the final.
Of course.
And the group broke up not long after that.
And I believe that was a little bit before he actually met Chris Lowe. And I was reading, you probably are both familiar with this, but I wasn't, that they met each other when they went into, at the same time, into a store, were buying musical instruments. One was buying a synthesizer and the other was buying something similar. And they started talking, and that's how it all began.
Yeah, and that's really nice, really, because today, I mean, it's often a lot more calculated than that when a band starts, and it's, you know, a lot more sort of manufactured. But, I mean, that would happen very organically.
Nathan, how would you describe their music? You know, some bands have a sound, like Beach Boys, ABBA. I reckon the Pet Shop Boys have a sound. You can always pick their music.
Yeah, obviously, pretty much all of their music I'm familiar with anyway is, you know, synth-based pop. I guess their sort of trademark is their lyrics are often a bit wry, or, you know, like intelligent and more kind of perhaps a bit more cerebral than your typical pop sort of song.
Yeah, there's a subtlety there, I've got to say. And Chris Lowe, I think, does a lot of the writing. They talk a lot in interviews about the fact that they write together. They both seem very uncomfortable to me. In front of the camera, yes, and some celebrities you get that and you go, okay, so that's your thing. You're a musician. You don't like that side of it. But in terms of sexuality, in terms of their looks, in terms of being up front and centre, the way they perform in interviews, they both seem really uncomfortable with all of it.
They do. I mean, I don't know how, at this stage, you kind of think surely they are comfortable and you wonder how, is this just part of their act now? But look, I think really that they are introverts and I think they are uncomfortable, and that's a big part of their appeal for me.
Well, it got me thinking though, Peter, because the latest song is called Loneliness. It's a corker. It really is. I listened to it once and thought, this isn't bad, but now it's just, I'm all over it. It's really clever. And the loneliness in not owning your identity, and the video clip sort of backs that up. You have to watch the video clip, everyone. It is really, really good. It's a story, thank God. But then I was thinking they wrote a song for Kylie called In Denial. I don't know. They keep exploring these themes around sexuality and identity.
I mean, like Can You Forgive Her is another song that's about the you know, a straight seeming guy who obviously isn't. They do keep exploring similar themes and touching the same things again and again, but in different ways. It's not boring to me because they sort of come from a different angle. I mean, this song's, even though it's similar, it harks back to other work. It is quite different to other songs too.
One thing I noticed about the video is that they, you know, we don't really get to see Neil and Chris until towards the end of it, and that's something I've noticed quite a bit in older artists that are still releasing new music, that often the music videos, you know, I assume it's not necessarily the artist's choice, but, you know, they'll often focus on, they'll have like younger actors or models or whatever that are, you know, seen for the bulk of the video. And then you, like, if you see the artist at all, it's like, you know, for a split second. And and I'm thinking of, there was an ABC video, like with Martin Fry. I was out, I don't know, maybe 5 or so years ago. I saw it on YouTube once, and you only saw like Martin Fry for like a split second.
I don't know. As a fan, speaking for myself, I want to see a bit more of them.
Yeah.
Well, this might give us a little bit of insight. Chris Lowe was asked a fairly innocuous question about how come you don't let the fans stand next to you and do photos anymore. This is what he had to say.
Why won't you guys take photos with the fans anymore at gigs?
Well, we always used to take photographs of the fans, but then the internet got invented, and the worst thing is having a load of really crap pictures of yourself all over the internet. So that is the reason.
A man of very few words, very short snippet there, but, I mean, it underpins that whole thing that they still, after all these years, seem very uncomfortable. Neil Tennant came out as gay in 1994 in a... I think it was Attitude magazine,
yeah.
Could be wrong. But as for Chris, he's never addressed the topic. Now, we burrow in way too much. I mean, who fucking cares what sexuality someone is, right? So I'm not saying either of them should or shouldn't, but this is a theme of their work. That's why I'm interested in it.
I think I read something, I can't remember where, but it was online a couple of years ago. I can't remember if it was Neil or Chris, but one of them commented on this topic, and it was referring to the Love Comes Quickly single Sleeve, which was a single of theirs in 1986, which depicts Chris wearing a boy, like that fashion label, whatever it was from the UK, you know, the cap that has boy written on it. And he kind of, I can't remember if it was Chris or Neil, commented that, like, you know, they didn't sort of feel a need to say anything like that. That was meant to be like his sort of admission, like, or whatever.
It's coming out almost.
Yeah.
I mean, no one in their right mind would really ever think that they were anything other than gay. And I kind of think it's...
Well, I don't know about that because, well, maybe not these days, but certainly when I was a teenager in the early to mid-90s, and for some reason it never occurred to me. this was even after Go West, it just went over my head or whatever, and I didn't really put two and two together. I guess I kind of almost felt that Neil was maybe a bit like asexual, if anything.
They're often asked if they're a couple as well, or speculated on, and they've made it quite clear that they're not a couple. Doesn't mean that they haven't had a dalliance.
Who knows? People still think that too. I mean, I went to a screening of their concert film, the Dreamworld Tour, last weekend in Sydney, and I went with a couple of friends, and one of the friends said later, "Now they are a couple, aren't they?" And I'm like, "No, gosh, they're just, you know, if they ever were, it was decades ago." Because
kind of a bit like Annie Lennox and Dave Stewart. Maybe that, you know, they were once an item and then they split up and decided to just continue to make music together because they realized that it worked.
But according to them, I mean, they have addressed this and they apparently have never been a couple. But
Well, they're very much behind the scenes type of people. It's evident even in Loneliness, the latest video. And I find it interesting because Neil was a journalist back in the day before he became famous for the Pet Shop Boys, and he was a writer for Smash Hits magazine. How exciting is that?
That's amazing and interesting guy. I mean, I think that's great because he had that knowledge of pop and how it works before he was even a pop star, so I think that really held them in good stead.
I don't know, they must be very smart, the pair of them, because they've cultivated this image without me knowing. Until I knew we were going to talk about them, I thought, I don't know anything about them. I barely knew their names. That's the truth. They've come up over the years, but I've barely known their names, yet they've cultivated this image that is indelible.
It is.
If somebody showed me the cover of a Pet Shop Boys single, I'd know it was them because of the hat, and they've got silhouettes, and they've got a sound. Like, they do have something very firm in terms of image.
They do. They've got such a sort of Pet Shop Boys sensibility that you just know as soon as you see it or hear it, and I think they're wonderful. I mean, they're just very of them, singular. They are. They're singular. I mean, there's no other band really like them. No other group like the Pet Shop Boys.
Now, Peter and Nathan, tell me what you think of this. In the 90s, you know, that awful group Peter that tried to save animals, and how anyone can get that wrong is beyond me, because everyone, what an easy cause to you know, galvanize people behind, and they stuff it up every time. But anyway, that's a whole other story for another podcast. But they wrote to the Pet Shop Boys in the 90s, I believe it was. They said, the first line of the letter, because the Pet Shop Boys released it, said, "You are going to find this request bizarre, but please keep reading." And they talked about why they shouldn't be called Pet Shop. And so they made a suggestion that they should change their name to the Rescue Shelter Boys.
I love that. Was that Peter, the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals?
Yes, you know, and their cause is great, but the people are fruitcake.
Cause is great, yes, but... that's hilarious. Well, yeah, imagine if they'd done that. I wonder if we'd even be talking about them now.
Well, it doesn't roll off the tongue, does it?
Not quite.
Rescue Shelter Boys, but there you go, there you go. Now, we know that they've written for a whole galaxy of stars. They love their divas, Kylie included. Now, I just have to tell this story because so many of our listeners are Kylie fans, that they wrote Falling for the 1994 KM94 album, and they were not happy that it was so changed. In fact, they were so unhappy about it that they ended up revealing the original song. And I just want to play a little snippet. Have to play the tiniest snippet, otherwise copyright gets us.
Gets in, yeah.
I'm falling in love. What do you think, Kylie fans? Is that a better version than the KM94? It was too poppy for KM back then, and some of you weren't alive, but Kylie really wanted to be sophisticated at that time. She did. So that was probably not up her alley. Although she did put that bloody M people track on the end. So
she did. Really, she barely changed it. It was basically just it was like, well, this is the same song. But I prefer Kylie's version. I mean, I love the Pet Shop Boys and I love Kylie, but I think Kylie's version is dated a bit better. It's that's what I think anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, people are split. They're very split about that. Okay, Loneliness, very quickly, what do we think of this new song? As I say, it's grown on me like nothing else. It's now in my playlist on high rotation. It's so clever. And then when I saw the video clip, I was like, wow, some love has gone into this project. What are you both making of Loneliness?
Well, I love it. I think it's really catchy. I think it's clever. I like the lyrics. I like the video. And I like also further into it, it starts getting into a Bobby Orlando kind of Sylvester kind of sound. Do you guys hear that a bit?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
Yeah, so I really like it. I think it's their best single best lead single in years. I wonder if that's anything to do with going back to Parlophone, because they're back with Parlophone now.
I was wondering that too when I saw that. It's like, wow, going back to their roots.
Yeah, I really like it. I hope it does well for them. And I'm here for
it. Nathan, you've only heard it very briefly. What did you make of it
then? I liked it more than I expected to. I haven't really kept up with their new music or anyone's really this millennium.
More of an
other than the odd track that I've heard, but it was better than I was expecting, and it's a bit of an earworm. I've only listened to it once, but it does, with the microphone off, I was kind of singing along to the chorus a bit, you know, towards the end.
Give it a second listen, and then I reckon you'll give it a third.
Possibly, yeah.
Peter, I'm excited about the album too, because if it's like this, it's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm excited about it too. And Neil said in his, I think it was the Guardian interview he did last week, that every track has an orchestra on it with electronics. So that sounds good to me, because I love how they have strings, they have electronica, it all sort of comes together. I mean, that's a classic Pet Shop Boys formula, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because the first few, maybe the first 20 seconds of this track are very orchestral. And actually what that did for me was when the synth starts pumping in, that's when I went, oh, yeah, this is good. It was clever. Actually, it reminded me a bit of Confide in Me and things like that.
Same, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And Left to My Own Devices as well, it reminded me a bit of that because it starts off with the, you know, the orchestral sound. Then
that's probably my favourite Pet Shop Boys single, actually, Left to My Own Devices.
Oh, it's mine. And I love to get out of bed at 10:30, you know.
So. Yeah, just like I just relate to it a lot.
Well, my friends, I hope that everybody listening goes and has a quick scout back through the Pet Shop Boys catalogue and revisit some of their old favourites, like Always On My Mind, Go West. What was the Elvis one? The Elvis one was Always On My Mind.
Always on my mind.
Mm. Although there was a lady who had it before Elvis, I have to say, and it was a country ballad. I'm sure of that.
Yes, who wrong. Is that?
And West End Girls, of course. They remastered everything in 2017-18, I think it was, and they did such a good job on it.
They did, because often remastering just means make it louder, but they actually really went to the effort of you know, you can hear it just sounds better. And,
Yeah, sounds good on a good system. Thank you, Peter and Nathan. Nathan, how have you found being in the fortress? It wasn't too scary or overwhelming?
No, but having said that, I haven't listened back to this yet, obviously. So I reserve my judgment on that. But, yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Fair enough. Well, the Fortress has enjoyed having you here, and Peter, you're getting familiar. You might even have your own guest bedroom.
Thanks for having me back again, and it's a thrill to talk about what more could you want to talk about your favourite artists? And,
I'm just so excited that some of our vintage artists who were geniuses and are geniuses are still doing it. I love it. I think it's fantastic and doing it well.
More than 40 years. Hey, just before I go, one thing I want to say, there's you may know about this already, but there are rumours that they're bringing the Dreamworld tour to Australia, and they apparently are trying to line up some dates at the Sydney Opera House.
Dreamworld tour?
Yeah, the dream.
That's not going to go down well in Brisbane.
The current, no, it's not.
Jesus, I hope somebody gives them a bit of a memo. Australia might have a problem with
Australia
the name.
Australia might have a problem. Well, yes, yes, definitely. Maybe it should be the SeaWorld tour down here. I don't know.
Yeah. But as soon as you said it, very bad images went through my head. I don't know about you both, but there you go. So they might be coming to Australia, though, is the point.
I'm hoping so. I mean, the tour is sort of every time that, you know, it seems to be finishing, they add more dates. They're adding more dates now in London at the Opera House there, the Royal Opera House. And now there's rumours that they're coming to Australia after that. So I really hope so because they've only really toured here a few times. So anyway.
I would love that so much because even though they don't move on stage and do much on stage, it's still quite a spectacle, I've got to say. Usually lights and lasers and
it's pretty theatrical.
Yeah, the music is what it's all about. I'll be there. So Pet Shop Boys, come on down, please. Take care, my friends.
You too. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.